Right now, Angelina Jones is here with us. Hey, Angelina.
Hi, Larry.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. What's it like now with summer? It's been, I can't believe that school is starting as soon as it's starting. I mean, August 25th is just seems so early to me.
It's a little bit later than a lot of the schools that my friends go to, so I'm grateful for that. Only one friend is starting another week after me on like September 3rd, and so I think I've got one of the later dates, but I'm definitely ready to go back to school. My summer has been so busy. I know you guys saw me for a stint for those 2 weeks that I was working here, and that was probably like the most relaxing time of my summer.
I was going to ask, what else were you up to?
Yeah, you know, I went on vacation with my cousin, which was nice because I haven't been on vacation in a while, but I haven't ever been on vacation like without my mom. And so that was like an interesting experience. So
I
thought it was cool. It was nice. I'm taking it as preparation for college because I'm not taking her with me, unfortunately. So I was like, let's get some practice in now. So she did let me go get my practice. It was nice. And then other than that, I've just been busy with, you know, balloon bookings. I'm a party decorator and event coordinator. So
I did not know that. So you'll make balloon animals and things?
Oh, goodness. No, I tried the animals for a while. Not my thing. Too much twisting. But I do like the fancy arches and things of that nature. So a lot of back to school ones. I recently just did some for Bishop Canavan like 2 days ago for their first day of school back. So different birthday parties and things over the past couple weeks have been occupying a lot of my time.
I had no idea you did that. And it's primarily the balloon-based for people. You must have done some of the balloons around here.
No, I actually didn't do any here yet. But I was talking about that with some of our staff educators because I didn't know that a lot more people didn't know about that.
I had no idea.
Yes, I'm just the jack of all trades. Whatever we need, I probably could do it. And if I don't know how, I'll figure it out in time for us to throw it together.
Where did you go on vacation?
I went on a cruise to the Bahamas, and so that was very nice. We went to Turks and Caicos, and then the Bahamas, and then we went to Half Moon Cay. It was very nice.
I bet. I've never been on a cruise ship for that kind of vacation before. Did anything surprise you?
I hadn't been on a cruise since I was really little, so I think I was surprised by the amount of people, because I think that when you're small, you're not necessarily conscious to so many things. And so I think it was very interesting, especially being older. Just getting to do more was nice. But I liked it. I like the cruise because there's not too many places you can go. You know, there's only so much on the boat that you can do. And so I didn't feel like I was going to get lost anywhere.
Yeah, it probably makes things a little orderly and allows you to just be in the moment with
yes.
your family. What a busy time. It sounds like once school starts, you'll be able to slow down.
Yeah, I'm so excited to go back to school just so I don't have anything else to do during the day. That's going to be my favorite part, is having like my schedule and my regiment and knowing that from like 8 to 3, this is all I have to do.
Well, the other thing that's happened, I think, pretty recently is the book that you've published, and it's called What I Meant to Say, and it's a collection of poetry. Tell me a bit about what led to this, why you decided to create a book. It's available in limited quantities. We'll let you know the best way to get a hold of a copy if you'd like, but I'm just curious about why it is that you decided you wanted to make sure your poems were published and available in this form.
Yes, so I have been writing poetry for forever. As many know, I'm going to journalism and broadcasting, so writing has always been a very big part of my life, both like academically and then extracurricularly, I suppose. But poetry has been like my way of processing things, and so I really like the way that it's very like customizable. I like the different styles of poetry. I like free verse mostly is what I primarily write in because I like to make my own rhyming patterns and break my stanzas in a way that makes sense to me for the particular piece that I'm working on. And so I like the ability to take a singular moment or feeling and then zoom out a lot and provide a lot of detail. And so anyway, I write poetry all the time. And so I was in a couple publications. I apply to local things all the time. I do Write Pittsburgh. I've applied to different writing contests. I applied to our poetry contest here at the studio. It was wonderful. And one of the publications that I was accepted in sent me a physical copy. And I was very, very excited because I had not seen like my work in like a physical print outside of my school's literary arts magazine that I'm published in. And so it was just like the coolest thing ever to me. And then I started like meddling with this idea of maybe putting a book together, putting together a physical publication of my own. And my uncle James had been kind of on me about getting something out because he had read snippets of this murder mystery that I've been working on over the years. That's just kind of one of those back burner things that you go back to and add a chapter here and there when you don't really have anything else to work on. And I was initially, that's what he wanted me to publish. And I was like, well, why don't we do like a poetry collection? And at my church, there's an author's weekend annually every year where our pastor will read a bunch of books and then talk about them after service, and then the church will sell them for a period of time. And so he was like, well, why don't we get it together and do it for author's weekend? And so that was kind of like the jump start to it. So I pulled together some old pieces that I had written and then started to come up with what I wanted the book to be about. And so one of the major themes that I had been looking at kind of across my junior year was Black girlhood and then Black girlhood in Pittsburgh. Writing for my English class, I did like a deep dive for my research paper of Black girlhood like across literature, specifically looking at Jacqueline Woodson. And then for my history research paper, I looked at redlining in Pittsburgh and what that looked like during that time period, and then how that may have affected Black girlhood kind of in tandem with other societal norms of the time. And I decided that I wanted to kind of put my story of Black girlhood kind of together in a way from my perspective of different things and like emotions and experiences, and then turn it into a cohesive story. And then I picked a title and got to do all the fun things like designing the cover and picking the fonts.
Yeah, can I see it?
Yes, of course.
I'm looking, oh wow. It's thicker than I thought it was. What I meant to say, Poems for the In-Between is the subtitle. This is beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Wow. I sort of looked at it. I looked at the cover online, and this is gorgeous. I'm looking how many. It looks like you've got maybe 20, I'm not going to, 20 poems, maybe a few more than that. I'm glad you have the date in it. Not that, of course you have the date. It's a book.
Yes,
but
right.
Sometimes people forget to date their work, believe it or not. And I think that's really important. So, you know, when was this published?
Yeah,
because it's part of your history.
Doing some more. So I wanted to know that I marked my starting point so that I could go back to this one and know that, like, this was the first one. Hopefully there will be many more to come.
I know you're going to share some poems in a minute, but I'm curious about the production process. You were mentioning how much joy it brought you to see the work that was published, the other work that was honored, and you received the copy of it. In this case, you had to figure out the layout, the, you know, what the binding was going to look like, what the end pages were going to be. Was that difficult to make those decisions and then let go of them?
Well, luckily for me, my uncle owns a printing company, and so he does printing on, like, many forms of media and all different textiles and things. And so he was a huge help with that. I didn't really have to worry so much about like the finished product not coming out the way that I wanted it to because I had someone that I trusted working on it. And so I really got to focus a lot on making sure that all the pieces were like perfect and polished the way that I wanted them to be, and then figuring out like the order of the poems and so that the story would unfold correctly. And really all I did was title it, and I sent all the poems over. I think that the biggest thing that I had to worry about was because I write in my notes app a lot because I take the bus, and any public transportation writer knows that it takes up a good chunk of your time, and it's very easy to zone out on some of those longer bus rides across town. And so I write a lot on my phone. And so I think the most tedious thing was for me getting all of the poems that I wanted to be in the book off of my notes app and into Google Docs. But as far as production of the book goes, he was really great about just sending me different ideas and like formattings and designs and just having me kind of pick between, you know, saying what I like, what I don't like. And then he'd go in and fix it and send me a new one. And we went back and forth like that for about a month. And then we landed on this one and I love it. I didn't know it was going to be a hardback though. And so when I got the box and I like pulled one out, I was like, this is like cooler. I thought they were going to be paperback.
Yeah, it's very, that's when I was saying thick, what I really meant is substantial.
Yeah, she's a sturdy book.
Yes. And that's what makes it so nice. Well, let's, you've got two that you're going to share with us. And I'll let you set them up as you would like to. I don't know if you need to give any introduction beforehand.
Well, as against prefacing as I am going to preface just a little bit. I'm going to start with the last poem in the book. This is the poem that I use to close out the book. It is called Where My Name First Meant Something. And like I said, the kind of like the purpose of the book is to take like a singular moment and zoom out. Just across like my life thus far, because I am, you know, too young to tell my whole life story. But in my 17 years of living, this is a moment, or I feel as though it's a collection of moments that is very important to me. But this is my ending poem, and it is called Where My Name First Meant Something. Before I ever knew what power felt like, I felt it in the way that he said my name. Not loudly, not with a roar, but with a quiet pride that made it echo in my chest long after the sound was gone. My father was the first mirror that didn't distort me. He saw my fire and didn't flinch, didn't tell me to be smaller, quieter, or easier to raise. He let me rage, let me cry, let me question the world, and never once said, because I said so. He always had answers, or better yet, questions of his own, to hand back to me like puzzle pieces. I didn't understand it then, how rare that was, and how sacred. A girl's relationship with her father isn't just about protection. It's about being believed in before the world tries to convince you that you're lying. It's about being held without being fixed. It's about learning how a man should treat you and not be told, but by being shown day after day with gentleness and intention, with love that doesn't ask for you to earn it. When I spoke, he listened like the world stopped, and when I failed, he told me that bravery was in the trying. When I succeeded, he didn't clap for the world to hear. He just looked at me like he already knew I made it just by showing up as myself. He taught me how to use my voice, but never to drown it out. How to stand out and walk tall, and he walked tall beside me until my legs could carry my own weight alone. And yes, sometimes we disagree, and sometimes I looked at him like he couldn't possibly understand what it was like to grow up in a girl's body and a girl's world. But then he'd do something, like a small favor, folding my favorite hoodie, or saving me the last bite of dessert, and I'd remember that he was learning too, and that it mattered more than always getting it right. A father doesn't have to be perfect, and a father doesn't have to be perfect in every way. But he just has to show up, again and again. Soft when the world is harsh, but still when the world is spinning. Present when presence is all that is needed.
Wow. That's Angelina Jones, if you're just joining us. She's going into her senior year at the Ellis School. She's from Elliott. And that's the last poem in What I Meant to Say, her just published book. That poem took a lot of courage, I think.
Yeah, I really like that one. And it was important for me that that was like my ending sentiment, because I think that one of like the biggest things in my life is my relationship with my dad. My dad and I are really close. And I think that it's very important to have a support system. But also, I think that it's very important for girls to have like a strong father figure, because, you know, I think that we're so hardwired to like look for affection in places that it doesn't, like, that you shouldn't be looking for affection early if you're not getting it where it's supposed to come from. And so I'm very grateful that I have a very loving support system and that I have a really great dad who's very involved in my life and in my writing and my processing of just like everyday things. And my dad has taught me so much about like emotional maturity and just like having a solid control over yourself before you can go out into the world. And I think that that's a lot of what he has tried to instill in me over the years. And so I love my relationship with my dad, and that's actually the second poem in the book about him. There's another one about him that's a little, like, way softer and lighthearted. But I think that a lot of my confidence, because I struggled with that a lot in middle school, I'd say. Not super outright confidence struggles, but just insecurities and not fully being my authentic self for a while, until like my sophomore year of high school. And I think that my dad really helped a lot with that, of just letting me know all the time that, like, I could be myself at home, even if I wasn't comfortable being myself everywhere else, even though that's what he was kind of pushing me to do. And so just having an environment where it's like, yeah, sometimes I don't always need, like, the iron fist, but maybe, like, we'll just share some cake and not talk, but just be here, and it's okay.
There are a lot of fathers and children that don't share that kind of communication bond, the older kids, I should say.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine writing a poem for my dad when I was in high school. Not that we didn't love one another. I think at least for whatever reason, you just weren't necessarily as demonstrative as that. Was it? What was it like for you to share that with him? Was it a challenge? I'm curious because you already appear to have such a great relationship. Part of me says it must have been easy, but I still have to believe it was probably a challenge too.
Well, it's interesting because I write my dad poems, like, for a couple of his birthdays or Father's Days, I've written him poems and such. And so for me to, like, take all these, like, emotions and things around, like, my relationship with him and put it into writing and then share it with him is not a foreign thing in our house, but I don't know if he's read that one yet, honestly. Like I said, there's another one that comes up earlier in the book about him, and I know that when the books came and I got them and I was giving them out to my mom and my grandma, and we were doing, like, this whole unboxing, because it was actually a secret. Nobody knew that I was working on a book, so it just kind of showed up at the house the one day, and I was like, all right, guys, like, I have a book. And so we were unpacking that, and my dad was at work. And so when he got home, we were all sleeping. And so he just kind of saw it and started reading. So he went to the table of contents and then read the one on page 16, I believe, and it's called Daddy's Little Girl. And so he read that. And then the next day when I saw him, I was like, oh, my God, did you read the one about you? And in my mind, I'm thinking the last one. And he was like, yeah, I read the one about me. We're talking about it. And then I was like, oh, that's not the one I meant for you to read. and so I know that he started, like, reading the book, like, in order. And I think he's almost to the end, but not there quite yet. So I'm not sure if he's read that one before. But I know that he knows that that's, like, nothing in there will be a shock. He knows how I feel. He's read a lot of my work before. And even with art and things, like, he looks at my drawings and my paintings, and he listens to my podcast. So pretty much all of my creative outlets, my dad's very, like, in tune with and has seen a lot of my work. So I'm sure that when he reads it, he will appreciate it, but not be surprised.
How can people best find your podcast and the book? And one answer is if they want to write to SLB, we can connect them to you if that's the easiest way.
Yes, and I do appreciate you guys so much for that, for anyone who wants to go about it that way. My podcast is available on Spotify and YouTube under Excellence in Motion, and it's by Angelina Jones. When you look it up, a couple other ones do pop up, but it is purple. A lot of things with me are purple. I'm a purple girl. But that is Excellence in Motion on Spotify and YouTube by Angelina Jones. And then this book right now, I'm currently selling independently, so it is available through my personal Instagram right now. I have a link that you can fill out to do, like, an order while I'm waiting for my copyright paperwork to just be in my possession. It is fully copyrighted. Don't steal it. I'm waiting for the papers to be physically in my possession so that I can put it on Amazon, but it will be available on Amazon at a later date soon. But my personal Instagram is ang3l_renee, and the link to buy the book and fill out the order form is linked in my bio. So if you go to the links on my Instagram, it is on there under book orders, and shipping is free. So I do suggest that everyone order one.
So feel free if you email us at slb@slbradio.org or contact us in any of the usual ways. We'll make sure that Angelina gets your information too. And if you're driving and can't make a note of some of the other information. Plus, when this is in our catalog at our slbradio.org/catalog, we'll make sure those links are there as well. You have one more poem to share. I want to thank you for being here. Is there anything else you wanted to add before sharing this poem?
You know, I just appreciate being here. I love it here. You guys know I'm here all the time. And for just the wonderful support system that I do have here with our across our staff educators and then other people who partake in our programming with me, I've met some of my best friends here. And so I'm so happy that on one Saturday, you know, I stumbled in here to share some writing, poetry, of course.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Many moons ago. Yeah. And you guys have been seeing me ever since. And so I just really appreciate it. And I think that you guys also deserve your flowers for just having such a wonderful platform that I've been able to grow off of and will always remember that I did start here.
Thank you. I hope we haven't seen the last of you. I know we haven't.
Of course not.
So here's Angelina Jones' next poem.
Yes, this one is titled, I Am From. I am from loud thunder shaking the roof. From raspberry tea steeped in chipped mugs and iced coffee sipped through straw-bitten lips. I am from early mornings where the world is still and afternoons colored by the sounds of dreams. I am from the paint on the canvas and from palette kisses and every mood that I've known. Brush strokes that tell stories that I'm still learning to speak. From poems scribbled in corners of a notebook, lines bent and bold and curved like my thoughts. I'm from lavender lingering on my wrists, from sage smoke spiraling towards cracked ceilings, and from eucalyptus drifting in the air like a memory I haven't quite placed but feel in my chest anyway. I'm from the soft tap of keys and the rhythmic slide of pencils across paper, from voices captured in headphones and waveforms dancing across screens in the studio, from mic checks and retakes and the hush before that speak truth into the room. I am from downtown cafes and dancing in the rain like no one's watching, from spring winds that laugh on your face and make your soul shiver awake. I am from stillness of early morning gyms, from the echoes of basketballs and the hum of ambition, from silent car rides that say more than words ever could, from cleats on dirt, softball games under lights, when the night itself cheers you on. I am from soundproof rooms and sound waves, from podcasting with purpose and voices of youth amplified and celebrated, from editing tracks until they breathe on their own, from stories shaped by my hands like clay spun on the wheel of passion. I am from sticky fingers and paint under my nails, from canvases that hold my chaos beautifully, from poetry that unravels me, then stitches me back together, more whole, more honest, and more mine. I am from fuzzy socks and baggy shirts, from midnight snacks and sky-watching rituals, from playlists that know my secrets and verses I whisper only to the moon. I am from lullabies I never sang but hummed to you and my younger hearts. A big sister with open arms and tired patience, braiding hair and building dreams, the safe space, the steady one, a lighthouse for the little eyes that are watching. I am from loud laughs and even louder silence, from black girl brilliance whispered between generations, from a legacy of resilience and a presence painted with purpose. I am from every version of me I'd never dare to imagine. Painter, poet, podcaster, protector. A walking mixtape of emotion and experience, rewriting myself line by line until the whole world hears me whole.
Angelina Jones, thank you for being here with us today. Look for her book, What I Meant to Say, a great collection of poetry.